If any of you haven't seen that spectacular film that Yadubar and everybody else put together, it's now available for people to view online. I recommend that you view it at least once, if not more than once. And it prompted me to think when there was nothing in the world as far as knowledge of Krishna, proper knowledge of Krishna, etc., etc., a world that was filled with turmoil and difficult times, Prabhupada came and started the Hare Krishna movement, and thinking specifically about Vrindavan. It's not featured so much in that video, but he Prabhupada wanted a temple in Vrindavan, and there was no temple. There was, no ISKCON temple, and now it's a wonderful project. And not only, I mean, there's many factors, but a big factor of Vrindavan today has a lot to do with Prabhupada's popularizing Krishna, who had, when he was starting in India, people wouldn't respond. He came to the West, which was the instruction of his spiritual master, and struggle, but voila. And then the Hare Krishna explosion, and he took those, you'll see in the film, back to India, and then people in India started taking interest, and then the interest in Krishna, which is indigenous to people born in India, was revived by the singular effort of our founder Acharya. And so many literatures have been distributed, giving people an opportunity to become acquainted with they have forgotten. He said the same thing in New York that he said in India. I've come to remind you of what you've forgotten. And I was thinking about this specifically with this section of the Bhagavatam that we're discussing, chapter 26. Specifically, it's Nanda recounting to the elders in Braja what Gargamuni said. So what Gargamuni said goes to chapter 8, canto 10, chapter 8. Here it is, chapter 26. And then again it comes up in chapter 45. It's being repeated for a reason. It's important. And the verse that we discussed yesterday, the first of his messages, is very significant for followers of Lord Chaitanya, because it's in the Bhagavatam. People that are not in the Gaudiya line, there's verses in the Bhagavatam that point to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This person, your son, has appeared in different colors in previous ages. I mean, it's explicit. So one of those is yellow. And there's abundant commentary. I didn't read it all. I was looking at it again. It's a very important verse for followers of Lord Chaitanya. There's others. There's many, but it's an important verse. And the verse that we're going to read this morning is a very interesting verse. And the commentary by our acharyas is out of sight. I mean, specifically thinking about Prabhupada giving Chapter 26, this isn't Prabhupada, it's the followers of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada finished, or the last chapter that he gave commentary on was chapter 13, we're at chapter 26. There's abundant commentary, and those who are working on that project chose to not present it, and it's understandable why, because it's inexplicable. It's mysterious. And how can one understand that which is mysterious? Going back to yesterday evening, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 31, the mystery, Sarahasyam, the mystery, and Prabhupada uses that phrase, mystery, 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 again and again. And it's a mystery. Bhakti is a mystery, Krishna's pastimes are a mystery, what Gargamuni is saying is a mystery, and Nanda is explaining it in his way, and our commentators chose to not include any commentary, and listen to the commentary of our acharyas. How does mystery become revealed? Through bhakti. That's a theme throughout the Bhagavatam. It's something that Brahma says in multiple ways in his prayers. And so I'm going to read something that's very mysterious. And it's not fiction. The realization of our acharyas, and they're not interested in fiction. They're revealing truths about Krishna that will help us appreciate Krishna. And the last verse that we discussed yesterday evening was Brahma saying to Krishna that no one can understand your inconceivable potency. Of course, one can understand to some degree if Krishna reveals. So, however, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had things revealed to him. He's very generously sharing. And hold on to your socks. So this is Canto 10, Chapter 26, Text 17. And it's mirroring what was said in chapter 8, that is, Gargamuni said to Nanda. Now he's repeating what Gargamuni said to him. And the text that he spoke this, chapter 8 is text 14. Here it is again, chapter 26. For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. The indication was sometimes, but it didn't say it's in this very lifetime, but it was in this very lifetime. He appeared as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. So BBT has no purport, but here is the verse from chapter 8, text 14, where the short purport, this is Prabhupada. In this way, he indicates that it's a fact. Jiva Goswami. The literal meaning is as follows. Somewhere your son was born from Vasudeva. How was that? It was a previous birth of Vasudeva and your son. Nanda understood that in a previous life, Vasudeva was also called Vasudeva. The secret meaning is as follows. Previously in this life, in Kamsa's prison, he was born from Vasudeva. But he is also your son. This is according to the conclusion that Krishna was born in Yashoda's mind and thus was Nanda's son. Oh, Nanda, filled with great fortune, because of having such a son, your child is endowed with the greatest fortune and beauty. So some of you know that there's scriptural references. I was asked recently for the scriptural references, and there's scriptural references that say Yashoda gave birth to two children, not just a female child. And when Vasudev came and brought Krishna to the side of Yashoda, the child in his arms merged into the body of the male child by the side of Yashoda. There's scriptural references that indicate this. And then he took the female child. Now, what Vasudev was processing when that happened, there's no explanation. But two children, so Krishna was the son of Nanda. At least some commentary speaks like that. Sanatana Goswami writes, Garga calls him, quote, your son, to destroy the doubt that Krishna is Vasudeva's son, the astonishing Supreme Lord. The term is used later also to reinforce the meaning. Oh, Garga, endowed with the treasure of the highest fortune, Sriman, your son is most beautiful. Your son is called Vasudeva since he is the presiding deity of Chitta. This is a scriptural presiding deity. Everything that exists has a presiding deity, and Vasudeva, he's called Vasudeva because Vasudeva is the presiding deity of Chitta. So that's a nice name. Again, he hides the fact, he hides that fact by explaining that he was previously born the son of Vasudeva. The hidden meaning is expressed by the affects some. Those in knowledge call him in truth some. Vasudeva, because he is born as the son of Vasudeva. So now, there was some discussion, someone asked a question somewhere along the way. Why did Nanda leave? Did Nanda understand he was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki or not? Because if he did, I mean, what was his understanding? Because he left. So did he understand or not understand, basically? How could he leave otherwise? So this is now chapter 45, where Krishna is going to leave. Nanda is going to leave Mathura, go back to Vrindavan. So this is that section where they're having that discussion. You with me? Scene, Mathura. Sequence, Nanda is returning back to Braja. Krishna is going to stay in Mathura. And, you know, in a short while I'll come back. Please bring that message to the residents of Vrindavan because they're missing my association. Like, so that's the conversation. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on that verse. It's text 25. There's a series that precedes it, and he summarizes. Having all these activities to carry out, that is, killing demons and so forth, Krishna resorted to his inconceivable, powerful yoga maya potency and along with Balaram, came before Nanda. At that time, Krishna manifested two separate forms of Nanda, and the other devotees present, and himself, and Balaram as well. Krishna's words to Nanda in verses 21 through 23, and the descriptions of the next two verses, that's this one, presented by the first form, have been explained. Paragraph. But Krishna and Balaram in their second form also speak, asking a question. O Father, we have been raised by you with great affection, but are we just your adopted sons and not your actual sons? Please tell us factually. King Igrasena and all the Yadavas in this place say that we are only your adopted sons. Therefore, Vasudeva and Devaki, thinking us to be their sons, are showing us excessive affection and trying to keep us here in Mathura indefinitely. They don't permit us to come see you. Though you are their dear friend, they have not even invited you to dine with them tomorrow according to the rules of etiquette. All this time, none of the Yadavas have come to pay you a visit. Being very disturbed, we have run away by force without their knowing to come see you. Unquote. This is the meaning of verse 21 according to the second form of Krishna. Paragraph. In reply to this second form of Nanda, he said, but my dear Krishna, in a previous life you were Vasudeva's son, as Gargarishi told me at your name-giving ceremony. Prag, I am Vasudevasya kvachit jatas tavatmajaha. That's this morning's verse, text. Chapter 17, text number, whatever it is, and it's making reference to text from chapter 8, Garga's words. Garga told me, I would assume that he also told this to Vasudeva. Therefore, even if in this lifetime Vasudeva is thinking of you, the ocean of all good qualities, as if you were his son, and thus wants to keep you here, I understand, however, that Baladeva is his proper son, whom he wants to take back home. Now I am asking you a question. Do you think that we, the people of, as the people of Mathura say, are only your foster parents, and that you are only our foster sons? Like, what do you think? What do you think? Krishna answers this question, verse 21, with tears in his eyes. Quote, parents have greater affection for the children born from themselves than they have even for their own bodies and souls. If I were merely your adopted son, then how could I have become millions of times more dear to you than your own lives? Therefore, I will never again look upon the face of Vasudeva and these other enemies of yours. So, you know, remember the discussion, this is chapter 26 that we're discussing, and earlier it was said that the Brijbasis are pondering, they're astonished at the degree of affection that they have for Krishna, the degree of affection that Krishna has, because it's, that's Braja, that's the, using the words of the translators, it's natural for them, and it's natural for Krishna, likewise. So Krishna is not making that point, he's just saying, you know, you're my father, otherwise how could you have affection for me, so forget these other people. Then Nanda spoke to Baladeva. Because Baladev is not the son of Yashoda. Baladev is the son of Rohini. So there's this distinction. For Vasudeva is clearly the father of Balaram, not Nanda. That's the foster son. Then Baladev spoke, then Nanda spoke to Baladev, but my dear son, Baladev, please tell me what you think in this regard. Baladev said, verse 22, those who raise the children are the real parents. Therefore, I will not stay in Vasudeva's house without you and Krishna, even if Brahma himself commands. This verse has been previously explained in a similar way, because this is text 25, and he's making reference back to text 22 of chapter 45. They're departing. Nanda Maharaj thought, if I take Baladev with me back to Braja, then Vasudeva and the other devotees in Mathura will become extremely unhappy. The selfish persons in Mathura, like Kamsa and other demons, have shown enmity towards me. But why should I act inimically? While Nanda was pondering over this, Krishna and Balaram suddenly spoke. Verse 23, and this is commentary in verse 25. Oh, Father, you should return to Braja and we will come later. We will not stay here a moment more than necessary. You know the statement of Niti Shastra, quote, if one has a relative, what is the need of fire? And if there is a good friend, what is the necessity of medicine? Unquote. If, out of your compassion, you cannot tolerate the Yadava's suffering, then listen. We will visit Vasudev and your relatives and give happiness to your friends by letting them see us. Paragraph. Thus addressed by Krishna and Balaram, Nanda Maharaj embraced them strongly with both arms, just as a miser holds his wealth to his chest and does not let it fall away. That's this verse 25. Beside himself with loving affection, pranaya vivala, and his eyes filled with tears of ecstasy, Nanda Maharaj mounted a golden chariot and went off to Braja. By the power of Yogamaya, one, Nanda Maharaj, separated from Krishna and went to Braja alone. While the other, Nanda, invisible to the other, remained in Krishna's association in Braja. In this same way, all the Braja gopis, gopas, and their animals expanded into two separate manifestations. One set was immersed in an ocean of suffering with Nanda in separation from Krishna, and the other set was immersed in an ocean of bliss along with Nanda in association with Krishna. They existed simultaneously in Braja without seeing or contacting each other. Pretty astonishing, huh? It's not fiction. Because he's not interested in Harry Potter. Not interested in telling a nice story that's interesting. Here's Jiva Goswami's commentary on 10.8.14. The same verse that were in chapter 27, the second verse of Gargamuni's statements, is commented in Jiva Goswami's 10th canto commentary like this. A reference is made, excuse me. Without that parental affection, the Lord cannot be called the Son. Varaha came from Brahma's nostril, but is not called his son. Krishna came out of Uttara's womb after protecting Marishpikshit, but is not called her son. Similarly, Vasudeva and Devaki did not regard the four-armed form as their son. However, Krishna appeared with all his expansions as the son of Nanda. This conception is shown in Nanda's actions, as he called the brahmanas to perform ceremonies. Garga also states that Krishna is principally Nanda's son when he says, Prag Ayam Vasudevasya, that's this verse. Previously he was Vasudeva's son, this is your son. That's what Garga is saying. Brahma also praises Krishna, saying in chapter 14 that we were discussing in the evening, chapter 14, canto 10, chapter 14, Brahma says, Pashupangajaya, I offer respects to Krishna, born from the body of the cowherd Nanda. Vasudeva Sutta also refers to the son of Nanda, as indicated by the word cha, in the reference to the same prediction of Garga. This beautiful son of yours somewhere appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. Anyway, it goes on. In text 21, the verse says, Atmaja utpane, when the son was born. It does not say when Nanda thought of him as a son. Therefore, the birth of Maya from Yashoda was for deceiving Vasudev, produced by Krishna's potency. Maya stayed in Yashoda's womb, and Krishna stayed in her heart. Thus, because Yashoda was the mother of both children, Maya is called Krishna's younger sister. When Devaki desired that he cover his four-armed form, the two-armed form residing in Yashoda's heart then covered that four-armed form and appeared in front of her. Though Garga said previously he was the son of Vasudeva, Garga then resolved the issue by saying, your son has been born with many forms and names previously. That's the one before this one. Parentheses. He was the son of Vasudeva in previous yugas. Thus, Garga's words, as well as Nanda and Yashoda's recognition of Krishna as their son, and the statements of scripture establish that Krishna is principally the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Nanda and Yashoda accepted that Maya was created by Krishna for deception, while Vasudeva and Devaki accepted Maya as Yashoda's real child, and therefore embraced her. when Kamsa tried to snatch her away. Far out, huh? Good thing you have your seatbelt fastened. Fixed in this truth, the couple thought, we will broadcast it with a festival. With the birth of a son, Nanda became joyful. Not only was a son born, but joy was born. Joy was born on the pretext of the son. It appeared spontaneously with the appearance of the son. This indicates the deep nature of their bliss. This became the cause of a great festival. He called the Vipras, who can excellently fulfill all desires. They were knowledgeable of the birth and rules of the Vedas. All the Devatas reside in the Brahmana, having knowledge of the Vedas. He purified himself with Achman and Vaishnav Tilak. This is from that chapter, that's the birth ceremony, etc. Vrindavan, this is the description of Krishna's flute chapter. What more can be said about the flute, which is held in his hand? Let us describe the glories of Vrindavan instead. Oh, friend, Vrindavan spreads glories of the earth more than it is marked with his footprints, or more than Vaikuntha. Since it is marked with his footprints. It has become glorious by wealth produced from the footprints of Krishna. In this way, it, Vrindavan, is incomparable. It has his footprints directly, not with shoes on. Thus, Vrindavan is most fortunate. The gopis call Krishna the son of Devaki, because of the words of Garga. Previously, he was known as the son of Vasudev. By this, they also hide their feelings. Govinda means the controller of cows. According to the dictionary, they use the name in that sense, since Krishna became famous as Govinda only after the bathing ceremony by Indra. In the next verse, however, they cannot hide whom they mean, since they call Krishna the son of Nanda. In that verse, or Devaki can also be another name of Yashoda, gives them. There's more. Krishna Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha. One must accept that Nanda and Yashoda act as Krishna's parents continuously, since the Lord made appearances in the past one time after the other because of being controlled by their intense prema. This is approved by Narada, Prahlad, Dhruva, and others. Their vatsalya was strong, and without that, he would not act as their son. We consider him our son. This is enacted during the Prakat pastimes. More details. Garga spoke the truth with the intention of stating that they were his eternal parents, and saying what he said, your son previously was born of Vasudev. The meaning is this: when Devaki prayed that the Lord withdraw his astonishing form, he made his formed form, which had appeared also in Devaki's mind, disappear and appear with two arms, as he had appeared in the mind of Yashoda, because she had an image different from Devaki's in her mind. The Lord was born with a different form. It goes on and on and on and on and on. So let me go to the next verse. I just have to go down far enough to find the next verse. That was text 17. We're looking for 18. Here's text 18. Translation. For this son of yours, there are many forms. So what did Vasudeva understand, or what did Nanda understand? Nanda understand in a very simple manner, same way that when I read that, I understood it. He's understanding, he's your son, and he's called Vasudeva by learned persons because in previous lives of Vasudeva, he also had the name Vasudeva, and therefore he's known as Vasudeva, but he's really your son. So some call him Vasudeva. But it's different. For that he knows, Garga knows. He's just not disturbing the loving mood of Nanda Maharaj. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. So there's no purport in chapter 26, but there is a purport in chapter 8. Prabhupada's purport reads, Bahuni, the Lord has many names. Advaitam achutam anadam anantarupam adyam paranapurusham navayovanam cha, as stated in Brahma Samhita. The Lord is one, but he has many forms and many names. It was not that because Gargamuni gave the child the name Krishna, that was his only name. He had other names, such as Bhaktavatsala, Giridhari, Govinda, and Gopal. If we analyze the Nirukti, or semantic derivation of the word Krishna, we find that na signifies that he stops the repetition of birth and death, and krish means satartha, or existence, parentheses, Krishna is the whole of existence. Also, krish means attraction, and na means ananda, or bliss. Krishna is known as Mukunda because he wants to give everyone spiritual, eternal, blissful life. Unfortunately, because of the living entity's little independence, the living entity wants to, quote, deprogram the program of Krishna. This is Prabhupada's purport, chapter 8. This is the material disease. Nevertheless, because Krishna wants to give transcendental bliss to the living entities, he appears in various forms. Therefore, he is called Krishna. Because Gargamuni was an astrologer, he knew what others did not know. Yet, Krishna has so many names that even Gargamuni did not know them all. It is to be concluded that Krishna, according to his transcendental activities, has many names and many forms. And, gosh, just going to read, there's tons of references again, but Vishwanath, commenting on this canto 10, chapter 8, statement of Gargamuni. Quote, these names, Krishna and Vasudev, stated by me, are not the only names. The white and other forms recited by me are not the only forms, unquote. He has names such as Bhaktavatsala, Sarvagya, or Govardhana Dhari, according to the qualities and activities he maintains. In the name Krishna, Krish means existence, or Sata, and Na means bliss. Or according to Keshava Acharya and others, he is called Krishna because his body is composed of mantras. His body, composed of mantras, attracts the devotees, Krish, and its color is black, Krishna. He is called Govinda because he herds the cows. Quote, if I, an astrologer, do not know this, then what can be said of the common man? From Gargamuni's words, Nanda could understand that his son was a Mahapurusha. Who had undergone many births with many names. This was known to Gargamuni because he was omniscient. And last, Jiva Goswami. Previously, examples were given of his various forms. Just as he had white or red form, so he has many names in previous births. I know this, but other men do not. Since this knowledge is impossible for ordinary people, the forms are many, but not revealed to all. There's a secret meaning. There are forms suitable for certain qualities, like Narayana and Nrsimha. There are forms suitable for certain activities, like Matsya. There are names suitable for qualities like Bhaktavatsala, and suitable names to actions like creating the universe or protecting the universe. The names, like the forms of Chachidananda, are eternal. Thus, the names, with their qualities and forms, are eternal, since the Lord is eternally endowed with qualities. Worship of activities like lifting Govardhan or defeating Kaliya are well known in the eternal Vedas. The worshippers worship these actions without break, and the Lord likes to fulfill the desires of the devotees by performing these pastimes. Therefore, actions of the Lord are eternal, and the names describing them are also eternal. This is explained in the Bhagavatamrita. Just as the forms describing qualities and activities are unlimited, so the names are also unlimited. The names may appear material, but they are spiritual. Completely Sachidananda. They are realized in the heart of the worshiper. I do not know these names, and other people do not know these names. Vishnu Purana says, quotes the Sanskrit, I offer respects to you with unnameable goals who cannot be named. And it goes on. So almost 8 o'clock. We're supposed to cover 3 verses, but this commentary is just pretty amazing. Now, supposing we don't understand it all. That's okay. We're, you know, referring again to what Brahma said, in the verses that we were reading yesterday evening, the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Lord are not understandable. So why are we hearing it? There's potencies in these vibrations because the vibrations describing him are none different than him. And it's giving us a picture of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. And the tininess of us before the unlimited. Because the material conception sees differently. And the spiritual conception expands unlimitedly. So it's just, that's an easy word, unlimitedly. What does it mean? You know, we're getting some picture of what it means. Now back to chapter 26. The Brijvasis are wondering with astonishment, who is this boy? And Nanda is referring to Garga's words to explain who he is. And Nanda's understanding is he's a jiva, he's my son, who has special powers. And he appears sometimes in the past as the son of Vasudeva in his previous lives, and he had different colors in those different lives and so forth. And, he's protecting us. That's what Garga said. He's like, really simple. And then our acharyas are giving us, you know, the other meaning or other meanings that are built within what he says, what Garga says. And it's profound. It tells us truths about Krishna that help us understand how wonderful is Krishna. I mean, that's the title of this chapter, Wonderful Krishna. Because wonder, this is review, but wonder is one of the translations of one of the seven secondary rasas, and they're experiencing a secondary rasa of wonder or astonishment. Wonderful Krishna, astonishing Krishna. And, you know, we're hearing the astonishing features of Krishna. And hearing those astonishing features of Krishna, we may not understand. Most likely we don't understand. But it's stimulating appreciation of how wonderful is Krishna. So you can bring it down to a level of sense perception. I mentioned this earlier, but when we see a sunset or see something beautiful within nature, Prabhupada's comment is, yes, appreciate it and think how wonderful is my Krishna. But, you know, but sunsets and beautiful scenery and fragrant flowers and things like that, that's God's creation for sure, and how wonderful it is. And then there's wonders beyond those wonders. And we're getting the Swarup Shakti wonders of Krishna appearing and having exchanges with his devotees in some wonderful ways. I mean, how much do we understand about scenes in nature that are wonderful? They're just as, at least, you know, besides, it's so beautiful. And, you know, one feels calm and some very special regard for the majesty of God, and feeling of the presence of the majesty of God is like you enter into a more peaceful and tranquil and respectful to God space of consciousness. So what to speak of his spiritual potencies, which the Bhagavatam is revealing, and our acharyas are unpacking those statements in different ways. So if we don't understand, it's quite okay. Continue to hear, because those potencies are stimulating our appreciation for Krishna that's forgotten. And there's no way for us to cross-verify, did Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur get it right? We're hearing on the strength of faith in the source. not speculative, you know, this means that, not interpretation based on mental speculation. We are having faith that the Bhagavatam message, repeating that it's now come three times, chapter 8, chapter 26, chapter 45, it's important. It's repeated because it's important. So it's not unimportant. We're looking at it because it's important. And we have faith in the Bhagavatam and faith that it's being repeated three times, so it's important. And then hearing our commentators help us understand what's being communicated. And it's multiple things with one thing. How wonderful is Krishna? That's the chapter. Now, what do you do with that? You serve him. He's the source of everything with unlimited and inconceivable potencies. Let me serve him. Now, go back to 10.8 Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. So, the commentary says sarvasya means everything. And everything means matter and spirit. And there's subdivisions of matter and subdivisions of spirit and everything. He is the source. One who knows that engages in his service. So what to speak of? That's a principle. What about then hearing the details that are like pretty amazing? Most wonderful. Most astonishing. He was reciprocating with the love of his devotees. Including the commentators. He's reciprocating with their love for him by disclosing things and their kindness to us by writing them and disclosing them. Now, Prabhupada didn't include many of those really far out things in his commentaries because his audience was, you know, one-on-one. So we don't share these things and discuss in circles outside of what we're doing like now. But the pastimes are very deep. What's the limit? Of that which is unlimited, there's no limit. How wonderful is Krishna? I don't understand all about Krishna. That's okay. This is one of the things that Brahma says in his prayers. There may be some people that say, I know all about Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't understand a fragment. And he's the most intelligent person. So, once again, if we don't understand all this, it's quite okay. How wonderful is Krishna? Let me serve him. Let's see if there's some discussion. It's after 8 o'clock already. Yeah.
Krishna Maharaj, since you are talking about the secondary rasas, so I just wanted to know what is the primary rasa and the secondary rasa?
It's nectar devotion topic, and it's really simple. I'm sure you're familiar. The primary rasas are five. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal love. You're familiar, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the five primary. And then the list varies from what I've seen, but there's seven secondary rasas. Astonishment is one of them. Chivalry is another. Dread is another. So they're emotions or rasas that augment the primary rasa. They strengthen and enhance the experience of that primary rasa. That's their function. That's a functional definition. And it's compared sometimes, like the the tide coming in and covering the sand. Beneath the tide, beneath the water, there's the shore. But sometimes the tide comes in and then it covers the sand or the shore and then it recedes. So sometimes the secondary rasa seems to predominate and it eclipses or covers the primary rasa, but it actually is enhancing the primary rasa. But it's not exhibited as much as the secondary rasa. So that's a functional description of what they are. If you want to find out the list, I can recite them, but you can go look them up. Nectar devotion.
So I heard that everybody associate with Krishna with one of the rasas. So in Nectar of Devotion, it said fear is also one of the rasas.
Secondary.
Okay. So we always associate with Krishna with one of the primary rasas. Is that right?
Yes.
Not with the secondary.
That's right.
Okay.
But it's there. Supposing there's a living entity situated in their eternal relationship with Krishna, the secondary rasas are there. It's not like, sorry, I don't want any secondary rasas. All you want the primary one. There is part of the experience of your primary rasa. Okay. But the secondary come and go, and the primary doesn't come and go.
There's some questions from online.
Okay.
So Visalaksha Prabhu is asking, Lord Krishna is the most wonderful and mysterious. Lord will reveal himself to the jiva through bhakti by sadhana siddhi or only whenever he wants to give bhakti, kripa siddhi.
Well, whatever he wants is what happens. Even with a sadhaka, there's no requirement on Krishna's side. And for those that are awaiting kripa siddha, they may have a long wait. It's in the Lord's hand, whatever he wants.
And Acharya Prabhu is asking, what does it mean that his body is composed of mantra?
I don't know.
Mantras.
I never heard that before. The equating Satchit Ananda, because that's his form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, and mantras are Satchit Ananda, and mantras are non-different than him, and the mantras are non-different than his form. One can say, deductively, his body is made up of mantras. But as you know, mantras are made up of his body. Mantras have form.
Raja Kunji Bihari Prabhu is asking, today I learned from you that the name of Krishna has multiple meanings, which is very wonderful. Does the name Krishna also have unlimited meanings?
Well, why not? I mean, these two that were mentioned, they're just straight dictionary. The Sanskrit dictionary, this has this meaning, that has that meaning, put them together, you get such a meaning and another such a meaning. But since Krishna is the source of everything, aside from those explicit dictionary definitions, Krishna is everything. Within Krishna is everything. So then we unpack Krishna and get different names because within Krishna is everything. Yasoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, for example.
Sri Radhika Mate was asking, at the beginning of the class, while speaking about the movie produced by Adi Prabhu, you were extolling Srila Prabhupada's accomplishments. Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON to facilitate six loving exchanges between devotees. As the days of physical distancing turn into weeks and potentially into months, I am realizing what an important role ISKCON plays in satisfying my social needs. It's only natural and in fact encouraged that we try to find the satiation of our social needs in the association of devotees. Yet on the other side of the lockdown, how to ensure that I'm achieving the fullness of what Srila Prabhupada will like me to achieve, rather than feeling lax in the satiation of my lower needs through the resources he is providing to me?
That's a consciousness question. And where is your consciousness going? So conditioned consciousness is down in the lower range of the object that one is looking for. And when consciousness is higher, then the object that one is looking for is higher. Let's say Krishna and Krishna's devotees in the higher consciousness realm. So as long as one is in lower consciousness, it's going to be searching for that object of happiness, according to the, using the language of Bhagavad Gita, the conceptions that one carries. The elevation of the conceptions that one carries becomes possible through the hearing process. So that's where our attention should go, to the hearing process, qualitative hearing process. Sound vibration can carry us to the place of higher consciousness.
And this question is from Srinivas Chamati Prabhu. The primary and the secondary rasas, how they one into another?
How do they change? Well, it's Krishna. The primary rasas don't change, but the secondary rasas come and go. And it's under Krishna's decision-making power, or it's his potency that moves this and moves that. So it's Krishna's reciprocating with his devotee. Just like this example here, the example of astonishment. Krishna enacted a pastime, lifting Govardhan Hill, and then Krishna drew back the curtain. So they could not just be, oh, how wonderful is Krishna, but wait a minute, who is he? This is not ordinary. And then, wait a minute, all the other things he did is also not ordinary, so who is Krishna? But that astonishment is Krishna's drawing back the curtain, so they could be astonished and enhance their primary rasa, and then close the curtain. So it's done by Krishna.
Would it be also from modes of nature, or just...
What's that?
The changing of...
Say the whole sentence. The modes of nature part.
The change of rasas, is it because of the internal potency of Krishna, or modes of nature?
Internal potency of Krishna. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed the ride. And we'll continue tomorrow with text 19 and go forward. Srila Prabhupada ki.